Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. We're happy to be joined by head coach Joe Riley of the Wesleyan men's basketball team. Coach, a little bit of a rough start to the season for you guys, but you've really got it going up to 11-4. And I say a rough start to the season, but you really looked like when you went out and scheduled your non-conference games, you scheduled a couple of really tough games to start the season, didn't you?
Yeah, the personality of our team shifted dramatically. We lost some key players from last season, which was the most successful season in the history of the program. And we, you know, I had a feeling we were going to be starting three sophomores and going to be young and kind of redefining ourselves. So strategically, I thought it was really important to have the toughest non-conference schedule possible so we could really be tested early and figure out what we needed to really key in on and get better at. And it didn't feel good taking a couple losses early against some really good teams that had all been in the NCAA tournament last year, but I think it was really, really critical to us evolving as a team.
Well, and I think for my listeners that don't really know, the league that Wesleyan plays in, the NESCAC, is arguably the best Division III conference in the country, not just in basketball, but in sports all across the board. So I guess it becomes even more vital for you, knowing that during the course of your season, two or three or four teams in your conference are going to be ranked in the top 25 anyway, so you might as well go out and schedule some good non-conference teams as well.
Right. The NESCAC, top to bottom, is as strong as it has been ever, and it's a great conference for, you know, and if you haven't watched high-level Division III basketball, you're missing out because it is a really good product of some really good players. And we know every year we're going to play teams who are ranked in the top 25, and we added four more already this season who on our non-conference schedule. And I think my athletic director Mike Whalen thought I was crazy when he looked at the schedule when it was finally, you know, approved. But so far, so good, but we still have a lot of tests ahead of us.
Well, the thing that's great, you talk about those top 25 teams, but you've beaten three of them, and a couple of your losses came to one team, Williams, who's ranked second in the country. So you have to feel good about where you are, and especially not only that you've got 11 wins at this point, Joe, but that you've basically come through the first, you know, better than half the season, and you've managed to stay healthy, which was a challenge for your team last year, and you made the NCAA tournament even having to navigate around a bunch of injuries.
Yeah, we have been healthy, and, you know, every season has its adversity. So we've had a little sickness, you know, going through New England for a four-month season. Someone's gonna come down with some type of virus or some type of sickness. So and we had a key freshman recruit from Hudson Catholic High School in Jersey City. And he tore his labrum in his shoulder over the summer and was cleared to play actually very late November. So we actually, all three of our losses are before, or actually three of our four losses are before he was back and inserted in the lineup. And he's a real versatile player. So we feel like for the last third of the season or so, you know, we could have, whether it's foul trouble or someone sick or someone gets dinged up a little bit, you got to have that mentality, next man up, or you're going to find yourself not playing in March.
Well, you look at your roster, and at first glance, people would say, wow, this is a really young team. But then you look at your starting five, and it's a veteran starting five. I mean, you do have a young kid in Austin Hutcherson, who's one of your starters, who started as a freshman. But, Joe, we saw real quickly last year that he didn't play like a freshman. He came right in, and, you know, after just a handful of games, he was playing like a seasoned veteran, and he has improved on even that. He's averaging over 20 points a game to start the season this year.
Yeah, so we're starting three sophomores. But it's like they're juniors because they logged so much court time last year. So I think when you look at some teams and like, oh, they have three sophomores in the starting lineup, sometimes they're untested sophomores and they're sophomores without experience. But these sophomores played in the NESCAC championship game. They played in a lot of great regular season games. You know, they played in two NCAA tournament games. And they were mentored as freshmen by arguably the best senior class I've ever had, certainly in terms of how successful they were and how many games we won. And that's a pretty prestigious group because we've had some great you know, great senior classes come through during my time at Wesleyan. But they've done a great job, and we have a freshman, a 6'9" freshman from right outside of Albany, New York, named Joe DeLolo, and we inserted him into the starting lineup, and when we were 3-3, and now we're sitting at 11-4, so he's had a big factor in it too, and even the way we are in society today, you know, when you promote young guys and you bring older guys off the bench, that could cause a lot of dissension. But our older guys are great. They're just focused on winning. They're working hard and they're accepting their role, and they're trying to make the young guys better, which is, I think, a carryover from the culture we had last year.
You know, I was just going to say that because that's one of the things. I remember the conversation you and I had several times last year about Austin coming in and starting as a freshman, about how that could, you know, cause a lot of resentment. And it seems to be part of the culture that you have built at Wesleyan, where you haven't had to deal with an awful lot of jealousy when younger kids come in and push the veterans a little bit.
Yeah, we work on it a lot. We talk about it a lot. I think it's a statement of the high character guys that we get and that are attracted to Wesleyan. And you know, they're true student athletes. I mean, they're great basketball players, but they're also understand that they're not just at Wesleyan to play basketball. They're at Wesleyan to get a first class education and spend these 4 years preparing themselves, hopefully for a very successful, impactful 40 years after. So I think we have guys that have their head on their shoulders and they see the big picture. But, you know, jealousy is unfortunately part of human nature. And I think if it's not addressed and not talked about and you don't really value the guys that are being unselfish, you can kind of create a culture of selfishness and jealousy. But so far, I think we've been able to avoid that. And again, I think, you know, when you have high character men in your program, it makes it a little easier.
You know, we mentioned Austin Hutcherson. The other guy I've got to mention is Jordan Bonner, a kid who missed some time last year with some injuries, but he has come back and he is rebounding the heck out of the basketball for you. And what's most impressive to me, Joe, he's averaging almost 10 rebounds a game overall, but in NESCAC play, he's averaging almost 11 rebounds a game. So when you go and play within your own conference, he's picked it up even a little bit more. As a coach, you've got to be happy with that.
Yes, Gene. Jordan Bonner is a winner. He can rebound. You know, and he's getting more rebounds in NESCAC play. And it's ironic that they're actually bigger bodies in our conference because and we've really played what people perceive to be the top of the conference. We just beat Hamilton. They're ranked 6th in the country. We've already played Williams. You know, they're 2nd in the country. Amherst only had one loss when we played them, and they're ranked in the top 25. And Middlebury, they were ranked in the top 25 too. There's a theme here. And we were on the road trying to win in Vermont. And they're a huge team, have a lot of height. But Jordan really competes and have a lot of adversity. He's been hurt. You know, he had a meniscus last year. The year before that, he played through a meniscus last year, but he had a knee surgery the season before, and he keeps coming back better than ever. He's a great young man and really represents Wesley in the right way.
Well, you've got a key stretch coming up. You've got your next three conference games are all on the road. Now, I realize, and I looked at the standings, it's against the bottom half of the division right now, or of the conference right now, but as we all know, or as people will find out very quickly, winning on the road in the NESCAC, it doesn't matter what team you're playing, it is not an easy thing.
It is not. It is difficult to win on the road, and we play a single round-robin schedule, so we play 10 games and that's it. So it feels like the playoffs have already started. You know, we're 3-1 in conference, but we only have 6 opportunities left. There have been teams that have gone 4-6 and been left out of the tournament due to tiebreakers because only 8 of the top 11 make it. And when you play a team who's below you, there's just more desperation and you can't get complacent. So yeah, we have 4 of the next 5 on the road, and it is hard to win on the road in any sport, certainly in college basketball, that stands true. So we have to really be focused. It's going to be a test to see how tough we really are.
Well, the one thing you have to be happy about is you don't have to see Williams again until the NESCAC tournament anyway. But I remember last year we had a conversation several times, and as we were going down the stretch and you were like, okay, well, we got this much left. Do you think, you know, you have already built your resume up when it comes time for NCAA tournament time? You have to think with some of these wins you have, if you continue to play the way you are playing, no matter what happens in the NESCAC tournament, you guys have built up quite a resume early in the season.
We our resume is going to be pretty strong. Now we have to take care of business, and we have some competitors, particularly in our conference, who have a better winning percentage right now.
Right.
But we have a huge lead in strength of schedule. I've been told that by a pretty wide margin statistically, our strength of schedule is the best in the New England region.
Okay.
And we still have some really good teams that we have to play. So I think we're going to be in great shape, but, you know, it's not like the Division One. You know, Division One, they have 36, I think, at large bids for 320 teams. And Division Three basketball, they're only 20, and they're 430 teams,
right,
approximately. So it's just, there's just not a lot of wiggle. There's not a lot of wiggle room. It's really hard to get that. Your resume has to be really strong, but you do get rewarded in the system for strength of schedule. So as long as we can, you know, get through this last leg of the season, and we could probably afford one or two more losses, I think would be fine. But after that, I don't know if
tough,
we have
yeah.
a high enough. Yeah, I don't know if we have a high enough winning percentage to have that strength of schedule really benefit from us.
You know, the one good thing too, Joe, is that if you do manage to get there, you've now got 2 years of NCAA experience under your belt. Some of these guys have been there. Now you've won a game in the tournament. They know what it's all about, and it might be a little less of the deer in the headlights kind of look from some of these guys if you do manage to get there again.
Right. We've had the luxury the last couple of years to play some out-of-region teams, and we were in Miami this year and played a great team, from Pennsylvania. We played a great team from New York, who was and still is in the top 20 in the country, and we played a team from Ohio a couple of years ago. And I think that the experience we have in the NCAA tournament, plus some of the out of region wins that we've had against teams that we're reading about on the national level, who are in the Sweet 16, and we know we've had success against them, and we see other teams in the NESCAC make some deep runs in the NCAA tournament. I think our guys are confident that we could do it too, understanding that, you know, you're always 40 minutes away, obviously, from being outplayed. But I think we do have a little confidence that we can hopefully make a run if we can take care of business in the regular season.
Well, I would be remiss before we end this interview. You have an outstanding young basketball player that lives in your house. And I'm just kind of curious, your son Joey, who plays at East Catholic, he plays for your brother, he lives with a coach, what's it like for you as a college coach who's out on the recruiting trail to be on the other end of the recruiting spectrum, where now colleges are coming to talk to your son? Do you stay away from this and let Joey steer his own path, or are you involved?
I'm involved. But I sit back in the wings a little bit. I think my son Joey, we're really blessed as parents, my wife and I. He's a great student. He's a great basketball player, and most importantly, he's a great person, and we're extremely proud of him. You know, it's his journey. I have a lot of insight into the process. I know how it works, and I certainly have some opinions about what I think would be a great path for him. But I'm sitting back. He's navigating this part of the journey, and my brother, his high school coach, is really experienced with dealing with 18-year-olds as they're making a decision. So I'm sitting back. It's stressful. I think I my schedule's pretty busy in the winter, and I do all that I can to see every one of the games that I can see. But at the end, I probably only get to see half, and the better our team is and the later we play, the more games I miss. And,
right.
And that's bittersweet, because I really want to, you know, obviously I want to win with my West End team as long as I have to go. They beat Weaver in the CCC finals, and I was in Rochester on the court in a walkthrough, you know, not looking at my phone, but knowing there were a lot of updates coming in from the, sold out Buckley Gymnasium. But it's fun. And Gene, it's made me a better coach and a recruiter, because for me, when I'm recruiting as a coach, it's, you know, it's just one cycle after the other. And I'm sensitive to that. It's a big deal for the families, but it does sometimes become a little bit of a business transaction, because it's not as emotional for me.
Right.
as it is for the families. So I really think it's really given me a great perspective of just how emotional and quite frankly stressful it can be for families and for an 18-year-old making what is the biggest decision in their life to date for, I would say, 99% of these young men. So it's given me an added perspective that I think I can connect with parents a little bit more and it's actually made it more fun. I'm like, wow, I've come to this point. It's, you know, like I was my first years as a college head coach, I wasn't even a father, and now
right.
I'm a father who's going through the same thing as the dad who's across my desk with his son.
You must be really proud of the way he's progressed. So I remember a conversation you and I had a couple of years ago at a high school game. I think it was at South Windsor High School, and we were talking about Joey, and he said something about playing Division I basketball, and you said you looked at him and you said, "You're not even good enough to play for my team yet, let alone Division I." You've got to be thrilled how his game has progressed to the point where there actually are Division I schools that are interested in your son.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. He's up to his neck in calculus right now because he has midterm exams in high school and taking some AP classes but he just became the all-time leading scorer at East Catholic High School. There was no fanfare about it. His coach knew, and I think they're just focused on winning. And I'm a firm believer that milestones like that are great, but they don't matter much when you're going through it. I think it matters more 10 years from now or, you know, when it's over, because it's about winning. But, he went there. We were hoping he'd have just a fun experience, and he's had more than fun. But they've had three conference championships, a state tournament. He's the all-time leading scorer there. He's got Division I offers. It's like, I said, you kind of have to take a step back and say, wow, like, you're really blessed. And it's amazing. It's actually been an amazing journey and a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, his teammates that he's had at East Catholic, mm-hmm. and the guys that have the four-year players that he's played with, are some of the best young men that I've seen, and they're going to be friends for life. At the end of the day, I think that really matters the most, that he's, you know, just being surrounded by such great people.
Well, let's bring it all back around to Wesleyan as we let you go here. You got a non-conference game coming up at Pine Manor on Thursday, and this is, you know, just prior to some conference games coming up. This is what I guess could be considered some kind of a trap game where you got to make sure your guys stay focused when you, after all these top 25 teams to go up and to play a Pine Manor team in Western Massachusetts. Do you have to feel like you have to caution your team not to take this one for granted?
Oh, I was on high alert today, Gene. High alert. We actually had a great practice, but I'm on high alert. You know, when you have the number six team in the country, and you're staying on South Beach, and you're playing a ranked team, and people, you know, who are following Division III basketball are paying attention, or you're going to try to win at Middlebury, and you haven't won there yet as a player. Like, those are games you get up for, but, you know, and once you get into conference play, you play a non-conference team that doesn't have as much juice. There might not be as many people in the stands. So, we're on high alert. It happened to us a few years ago. We had a great run at it. And you know, when you're good, sometimes you can awaken a team who, and first of all, Pine Manor is very good. They're a very good team. But sometimes we're at NESCAC, we're used to playing ranked teams, but some, you know, other places, they don't get these opportunities too often.
Right.
So it's a big deal. So, but yeah, we definitely have to stay focused, because, you know, we're one win away from being happy, and we're one loss away from being completely miserable.
Well, Joe, listen, good luck on Thursday, and good luck at Conn College on Saturday. We'll touch base with you one more time just prior to the NESCAC tournament, see how things are going. Thanks for a few minutes.
Awesome. Great. Right. Thanks. Always great. Always great talking to you.
All right, Joe.
The voice of the Cardinals.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Joe Riley here on the Wake Up Call. Back in a minute. You're listening to the Wake Up Call on Sports Country.